Hello, it is July 19th. It's a beautiful Thursday. Can I be serious for a moment? With all the recent news about online security breaches, it's hard not to worry about where my data goes. Making an online purchase or simply accessing your email could put your private information at risk. You're being tracked online by social media sites, marketing companies, and your mobile or internet provider. Not only can they record your browsing history, but they can often sell it to other corporations who want to profit from your information. That's why I decided to take back my privacy by using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. Protecting yourself with ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is the solution. And if you don't want to hand over your online history to your internet provider or data resellers, ExpressVPN is the answer. Protect your online activity today! All capital letters there. That one and tracked earlier. And find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/pat. That's expressvpn.com/pat for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/pat to learn more. July 19th, we have a great show for you today. I'm so excited to get chatting with my friends here, but also with the incredible guests that we have. The incredible guests we have.
Great guests.
I think today's conversations will leave you going, oh, that guy. You know what I mean? I think they'll say that. I think they will say it. Don't you think
that? Yeah, they're going to say that.
The first interview that we had was with a guy that you could tell he still works for the NFL. He's a little bit more buttoned up. But a video of a part of this conversation got pretty good traction on the internet yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen. Joining us is one of the coolest Caucasians to ever grace the NFL football field. He was undrafted out of Texas Tech. He went on to become a superstar, not only for the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. He's done a lot of beautiful things on and off the field. Most notably and recently, he's going to be appearing at the Boston Athletes and Celebrity Mixed Drinks for a Good Cause with Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, who he has done his hair, I assume. Ladies and gentlemen, the prototype of white receivers, Wes Welker.
How you guys doing?
Wes, life is good. How are you, Wes?
Good, man. Doing well, man. Just enjoying a little time off and getting to see Dr. Leonard and his whole clan and then going to this event tonight. So everything's good.
That's awesome. I think it's going to be beautiful. You're raising money for Young Fight Strong, a cancer benefit. You and a bunch of incredible Boston celebrities and heroes are going to be there. It should be awesome. Let's get right to it. How terrible is that coaching schedule that you just signed up for with the Houston Texans?
It's pretty brutal. it's brutal, but it's also, you know, it's fun and, you know, somewhat rewarding at times. And then the hours go by actually pretty fast. So I think a lot of coaches make it out worse than it really is. You know, they always talk about how coaching's hard, and I'm like, you know, playing's hard. Going out there and, like, actually going against somebody who's, like, way more athletic than me, like, that's hard. Coaching's just long hours.
The Houston Texans, Shane Leckler told me last year that he's coming back for another year because he feels with Deshaun Watson at the helm and the team that J.J. Watt's coming back and the team that they've put together, Nuke out there at wideout, he said that this team has a legitimate chance to make a run. Do you feel the same after being around the group? Obviously, you have to say yes, but do you feel good about
the team? Well, I mean, yeah, no, I feel good about our team and the guys that we have around there and no, absolutely. I think there's still a lot of work to be done and a lot of things that we can improve on and get better at and all those things. But that's every team at this point. But I like where we're at. I like the guys that we have and, you know, from an athletic standpoint and just overall, you know, physical size and speed and, you know, all those things. You know, we definitely have a lot of pieces in place. And then, you know, on top of that, we got to stay healthy and play our best ball as we get further down the road through the season.
Every single little white receiver that comes out and into the NFL, every single, whether it's Mike Mayock, whether it's McShay, every single human, and I'm sure you have to hear it. And I want to know, is it a compliment or not for every single Caucasian wide receiver to be compared to Wes Welker? Or this could potentially be the next Wes Welker. Is that, that has to feel good to have those comparisons made every single year about you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely, for sure. And, you know, I think, you know, other guys, you know, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, all that, you know, so it's, you know, it's all, we're all kind of getting mixed together. And it's really cool, you know. It's, I definitely take it as a compliment. And you know, just happy that people actually remember who I am.
You're impossible to forget, Wes. You're an absolute legend. And let's get into a legendary tale of Wes Welker. And I got a chance to party with Peyton Manning a little bit. I'm assuming you had a good time in all of your things. The Kentucky Derby situation is one of my favorite professional athlete stories in the history of professional athletes, because it wasn't your fault that they fucked up. And I hope you told them that. Is that how that story ended? I don't recall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it was their bad, you know? So, I mean, if I would have given them too much money to bet, would they have given that back to me? Probably
never.
Not. So, I mean, yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm gonna tell you, but I did. I gave some to the people, though.
I saw you making it rain out there. I saw you making it rain, Wes. It's one of the best videos in the history.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. Glad you enjoyed it.
Going out to play,
definitely a good time.
Going out to play with the Broncos after leaving the Patriots and going from Tom Brady to Peyton Manning. And I'm sure you've been asked numerous times, what's the difference between Tom Brady and Peyton? But it is a real question. Like, what was the difference for you mindset-wise going to work with Peyton after leaving Tom Brady? Are they damn near the same people when it comes to overworking and OCD and being just obsessed with the little things? Is that pretty on par with what you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, they're very detailed and where they want people to be, very you know, keeping guys accountable, you know, yelling at guys if they're not doing the right thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's very intense, but that's the way you want it, you know. And it was always constant conversations with both of, you know, all right, were you okay with me being right there in that spot? Or, you know, do you want me wider? Do you want me, you know, more inside? You know, whatever it was, you know, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was where they wanted me to be against that particular coverage or this one or whatever it was, you know, making sure that we were on the same page.
Do you see anything in Deshaun Watson that reminds you of Peyton or Tom Brady?
Yeah, no, I do. I think just as far as football players and just the instincts and understanding the game, I think that comes really easy to him as well as those guys. You know, obviously he's still a rookie, and, you know, the scary thing is you know, he still has a lot to learn. And, you know, I think he'll eventually get there, but, you know, he's the ceiling's very high for him. And you know, if he keeps on just working the way he is, which he's going to, you know, we should be in good shape with them.
Hey, you sound like you're a hard-ass coach, aren't you? Because you say we got a lot of work to do. We still got a lot of it. You're a hard-ass coach, aren't you?
I wouldn't say I'm a hard-ass. I'd say more just truthful. Just call it how it is.
You know? Oh, yeah, you're definitely a hard-ass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've cussed a few people out here and there, you know.
Like every answer I'm hearing from you, like when I asked about Shane Leckler talking about the Houston Texans potentially going on a run, every answer I heard from you was the same exact answer I would hear from a coach that's like a hard-ass coach.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, you do have to put a coaching hat on every once in a while. I mean, you can't sit there and say everything's all good and we're going to be great and all this, you know. It comes down at the end of the day, you know, you just got to keep on working at it. As you know, it's, you know, as soon as you think you're good and you got it, you know, that's when you end up going downhill. You know, you always want to progress forward.
But can you cuss out somebody like DeAndre Hopkins, or does it have to be like a mutual respect type relationship with a player of that caliber?
Yeah, no, it's more, I mean, you know, he's a pro, so he wants to, you know, be at his best. So it's, you know, obviously there's different deals for different guys. So, you know, like, am I going to sit there and like rip, you know, DeAndre Hopkins? No, not at all. I'm going to be like, it'd be more just a conversation of, hey, what would you think about doing this on that or whatever? And he's, you know, always, you know, responds very well. And, you know, he wants to be the best. So, you know, whenever you have a guy like that, that wants to be the best, like, you know, he's always going to want to do everything he can. So there's no reason to sit there and be like, hey, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't, you know, there's no reason for it. So
did you always
give your input and he takes it or he doesn't.
Did you always want to be a coach?
I think deep down I did. I think, you know, after, I would never want to do that. And then, you know, I'm away from the game for a year, and, you know, it just wanted to be back in it.
You cut out right there whenever you said you thought about this, and I'm assuming that was gold, and it just didn't, it wasn't.
Oh,
even.
No, nothing gold there.
All right, so you know, the NFL is changing.
Mainly just being away from the, the NFL's definitely changing.
And I will say that you were probably a topic of conversation in the meetings by the NFL. I was teammates with Austin Colley. Wide receiver is a position where you can be in dangerous spots in a lot of occasions because you're just following a ball blindly. Do you think the game is changing in a proper fashion? Do you think, as somebody who has experienced concussions and stuff like that, do you think the game change was necessary? Do you think the future of football is in a good spot? What are your overall thoughts on the whole making the game safer feel that the NFL is going for right now?
Yeah, I think we're doing the right things. I think it's headed in the right direction. I think there's still just a ton of gray area with everything that they're saying. You know, obviously everybody wants to cover their own ass on stuff, and, you know, although, which is fine, but, you know, you just got to cut out the gray. And you know, what is a penalty, what isn't, what, you know, where do you want them to hit, you know, how do you want to hit, you know? I think there's got to be a lot of examples and a lot of communication on that front, and I think we're getting there, you know. But I think we're in a good place now. I mean, you don't want to see the game become, you know, flag football. You know, you still got to have, you know, the tough, hard-nosed, physical game that people love, but, you know, just being able to teach it in a proper way and keeping the players safe out there.
Did you ever think about playing in a flag football league?
I would love to. Trust me, flag football growing up was, That was my stuff right there. I love flag football.
Did you just used to slice and dice in 7-on-7? Did you used to just slice and dice in 7-on-7? I bet.
Yeah, no, that was the best for me because you didn't have to deal with any of the big guys. There's no tips, balls. You know, all my routes are pretty much under 5 yards. So, you know, you didn't have to worry about, you know, 6'5" guys with long arms and they're batting everything down and trying to find the ball.
Wes, so we have Ninkovich and Vollmer coming up that we're interviewing. Is there any dirt or anything that we need to bring up that you would like us to, that we should ask about?
No, I mean, there's plenty of dirt, but nothing that I can really bring onto the air for you.
Absolute bullshit right there. That was absolute bullshit, Wes. I do not.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's, you know, but, you know, he's married with kids now, you know.
Who's the greatest football player of all time, Wes?
Greatest football player of all time? Mm-hmm. I think it's remained to be seen.
That was a trick question.
That was such a trap question.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. That's on me. That was like gotcha journalism there. I did not mean to do that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No
that's,
doubt.
That's fucked up. All right, Wes, we appreciate you so much. I know you got things to do. Tonight is going to be incredible. I'm very thankful you're giving back to the community. I'm also very thankful for your time in the NFL. You put on a great show for a lot of years for a lot of young athletes to look up to. So, ladies and gentlemen, coach of the Houston Texans, absolute living legend.
I'm just glad I don't have to catch your punts anymore.
Tell you what, Wes, I will say this. Looking back, you, Amendola, the little white, Edelman shook me a couple times. The little white guys who are the returners are the most scary, strictly because if I get shook by you guys, like there's no coming back from that. I have to keep my mouth shut, which happened and would happen on a regular basis. But if I get beat by like Antonio Brown, which did happen, or Tyreek Hill, which did happen, like that's acceptable to the locker room. But if it's Edelman, or Amendola, I get crushed for out of nowhere.
Right. I mean, why is that? I mean,
I have no idea.
Just because of the short white guys, you know, like we shouldn't be able to do that stuff. Huh?
Yeah, believe me, I was on your side the entire time. I was like, what are you talking about? These dudes got low center of gravity and grit. Get off my dick.
Right.
Hey, Wes, good luck tonight. Good luck with the Houston Texans. We're very thankful you came on to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, Wes, welcome.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Prototypical white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he is.
Fun to watch.
Literally every single – the white wide receiver could be 6'4", run a 4.2 40, could be much more like Randy Moss than anybody, but if he's a white wide receiver, they always say, this guy could be the next Westbrook.
You know, people forget about Steve Tasker and Steve Largent. I think that's his name.
Steve Largent.
Did you forget?
And Wayne Corbett.
You saw the tweet that I got about Wayne Corbett.
I didn't.
Oh, you did?
I remember Wayne Corbett because he didn't wear gloves.
Oh, yeah, like Dallas Clark.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was awesome.
Yeah, throwback, old school. Stupid, by the way, in my head. Because the gloves have so much, it's like so much, I couldn't wear, if I could wear a glove on my right hand, I would have, but it was too sticky. Uh-huh. And part of my job was actually releasing the ball.
Yeah.
So the gloves were too good for me to wear one on my right hand, but I wore it on my left hand for sure. Helped me catch with everything. I'll never forget a commentator who was like, I don't know why these punters are wearing gloves. We catch the ball literally every fucking time we go on the field. Every single time I go on the field. I have more receptions than I'd assume 90% of the NFL wide receivers.
You're probably averaging 5 a game, right?
Well, yeah. You got field goals where you're catching the ball with a lot of fat, and then punts, you're catching the ball. So it's like literally every time I go on the field, I'm catching the ball in the commentary. I don't know why.
And then if you drop one,
it's over. You're fired. And also in your head, you're fucked. You drop one in practice, you get in the game, the first thing you're thinking is don't drop it like you did on Wednesday in practice. Don't drop it like you did on Wednesday. Then you catch it like, oh, fuck, thank God I caught it. And then you're like, oh, wait, I only got 1.2 seconds to get this thing out of my hands. Bing, bang, boom, I got to be quick here. And it's just a clusterfuck of a situation.
It's not like you're Jay Feely.
Oh, that guy. He never caught a ball. Never caught a ball. Why do you have two gloves on,
Two
Jay?
Gloves.
What are you doing? Never caught a ball. You do what you got to do.
Did you ever look at Dallas Clark's hands? Were they just all fucked up and mangled?
He had a bunch of bananas.
Yeah.
The whole thing, he had a bunch of bananas to his whole goddamn... I have a whole bit on Uncaged about how whenever you first get in as a rookie, you go and do a tour through the locker room. And like we're lined up and all the vets come and introduce themselves to us, you know? Like you got like a 40-year-old guy who looked like he would have been my uncle if I was black. And it's like, hi, I'm Gary Brackett. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, you're a very basic-looking guy. You're a middle linebacker. That's awesome. And Vinatieri comes over and introduces himself. And then when Dallas Clark comes over and shakes my hand, it's literally like he's just wrapping, like it's like cucumber. His hands are just like so many pickles almost. It's just because he would tape them in between the joints, but that doesn't stop the joints from moving. You know,
right.
He's had these big ass hands. He refused to wear gloves. It never made any sense to me. And he almost like whenever you would ask him, he would like scoff at it, like I'm the pig for asking him why he's not doing it. It was, but I respect it.
Iowa tough.
There's a lot of guys that, I mean, I don't, if I didn't start wearing a glove and the Michael Jackson look, I don't think, it's such a, like an ease of the mind. It's like, all right, so this, I got sticky finger bandits on my left hand. Okay. So all I got to do is just get this hand on the ball and it'll be caught. Yeah. And then the right hand does all the work finding the lace and everything. It was a nice little tag team they had, but it's, I don't know why you wouldn't wear gloves.
To not wear, like it's legal. And it helps you. It's like legal cheating.
Yeah.
Why would you not do it?
Yeah, I don't know. Now, if you're a returner, you won't see any returners not wear them.
Yeah.
Because returner, those balls are coming down so hard. You want anything to help you out. That's kind of what happened. I think like at the end of Wes Welker's career, he started getting the bops. Like the ball would be bopping off his chest because he was like overthinking it, I think.
Oh, really?
For punt returning, yeah. That's why he mentioned he's happy he doesn't have to catch punts anymore because sometimes – punt returners can start getting the, I don't want to say the bobbles, but it is like you start like double clutching it because that punt is coming down very hard. Like people think it's like running a Hail Mary or something like that from a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's nothing like
that. After trying to catch you out in your yard, I'm like, this is fucking impossible.
They're little missiles coming down. And if you're like a, a veteran punter, you're trying to do that. You're trying to bring the ball down so people will bobble them.
Right.
And if I do recall, I think Wes had a bobble, a big bobble in like a Monday Night Football game on like his own 15, if I recall, towards the end of his career. So I think he might have had a bad taste in his mouth with punt returning as he retired. But he was an incredible punt returner as well for a long time. Very sure-handed, made a lot of great plays. And what I was talking about, like if white people shook you, I mean, I T.Y. Hilton would say white 11 to me after Julian Edelman shook me. White 11? White 11? Get off my dick, T.Y. What do you want me to do? That low center gravity and grit thing's real, though. That's really what they got. Yeah. Griff Whalen has that, too. That's why I thought he could play center. Nope. When you're a wide receiver, being a center can be complicated and confusing. You know what isn't, though? Buying tickets with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the greatest ticket purchasing app in the history of ticket purchasing anything.
Bar none.
Bar none. They don't catfish you.
Nope.
The ticket that they say you're getting, you're getting. You're not going to show up and not get in. You're not going to show up and be disappointed. That's because they scan all other ticket sites, all of them. And they find the best bang for your buck whenever you put in the budget that you want. You can get tickets to theater.
Yep.
You want to go to theater? Hi, I'd like to go to theater. You can go to comedy if you want.
Yeah.
You can go to any sports event. You can go to any live event. SeatGeek takes care of you. They're the greatest, and it's hassle-free. It's easy. It's just two taps, basically, right?
Yeah.
They don't have that in their ad reads anymore. But they did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I use SeatGeek so often. Really do. My lady and I go to a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. It's just too. It's the easiest thing on earth to get to a live event. You're alive, but are you living? Go live and do it live.
I'm using this Friday.
For what?
For Manchester United versus Borussia Dortmund in Chicago.
For who?
Mm. Borussia Dortmund and Manchester United soccer.
Oh, same nice thing. So you use SeatGeek. You use promo code Pat to get $10 off.
Yes, I did.
Off your first SeatGeek purchase, or McAfee to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Mm-hmm. And you're going to go enjoy the hell out of that because you got a little World Cup fever.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're going to watch it and you're going to be like, you remember when I said I thought I could play middle back for one of these World Cup teams?
Moron.
You're going to have a little self-awareness watching those guys in the middle. Oh, they run a lot more than I thought they did back in the day. That's what's going to happen to you, Zito. But please use SeatGeek. They're the best. They've been with us since day one.
Yep.
They've supported a lot of things that we've done around here. I'm very thankful for them. They're good people selling great tickets to incredible people, which is you. SeatGeek, the best ticket buying app on earth. Promo code Pat or promo code McAfee on your first purchase to save you some money. With that being said, we were loaded with incredible interviews this week.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple of days. Loaded. We got a friend of the show came back and joined us. Tonight he has a Flag Football League championship for $1 million. And I put the heat on him, too. I made him sweat a little bit. Friend of the show, he's with us in Minnesota. You're going to enjoy this guy. Joining us now is a former NFLer. He's an entrepreneur. He's a businessman. He has a good brain, great vocal cords. And this past weekend, he won the professional division of the American Football League Championships right here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Friend of the show, he joined us in Minneapolis,
Minnesota!
But now we're in Indianapolis,
Indiana!
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Forsett.
Man, what an intro, man. Thanks for having me on, Pat.
Hey, no problem at all. Welcome back, Justin. Congrats on all the success in the American Flag Football League, brother.
Man, I appreciate it. It's been fun to get back out there and compete a little bit.
Did you enjoy it? That's kind of the feeling I got from Fred Jackson, Seneca Wallace. It just felt good to get back out there. Seneca Wallace said the word relevant, but I think like the competition mindset, the team mindset, the camaraderie was something that you guys were all kind of yearning for and got to experience that. Am I correct?
Yeah, man, that's it, man. Just going out there with the guys, being able to have fun, play the game, compete, laugh with each other, create some memories. That's what it's all about. So that's kind of what you miss from the game, and this gives us another opportunity to experience that.
You're playing against a bunch of amateurs on Thursday night. Is there any chance you guys lose in that game?
I mean, they've been playing this game, but the team we're playing against, they've lost one game in 5 years. So they're pretty experienced. They're a good, solid team, but we don't think they have a chance personally. But it's going to be a good battle.
Just as a person from the outsider looking in, as an amateur who happened to be a professional, like basically, I have the amateur mindset but was a professional, I assume that there will be something in your team Godspeed, I believe, is the name of your team. That'll be it'll be a bit of a if we lose to these, this is going to be very tough to talk to any of our ex teammates or our ex our friends. Or if we lose to a bunch of amateurs, whenever we have Olympic speed on our team, we have a quarterback that can sling it all over the yard. We have Justin Forsett, incredible running back from the NFL on our team. If we lose to a bunch of amateurs, it's going to be tough to go back to the neighborhood, the family, the friends.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting a lot of pressure on us.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm doing. I'm hyping this up pretty big for you. I'm hyping it up pretty big.
it's definitely going to be. We gotta represent, man. We're going out there. We're playing against some guys that didn't get a chance for whatever reason to make it in our league and play in our league. So we got to represent that shield. So when we show up to Legends events or team reunions, like, we can say that we held it down.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, I can't wait to watch you guys. I can't wait. I've been enjoying the hell out of this flag football. I didn't go to the games this past week in Indianapolis. A couple of my guys that work for me did. They said they enjoyed it. I think flag football has a real future. Will you stick with it if it continues after this season?
It's really not up to me, man. It's up to my hamstrings. if the hamstrings can go, we'll see.
You old ass. You old ass.
Yes, sir.
Have you been having to, like stretch and maybe, like, get – what's acupuncture and, like, chiropractor? Like, do you feel older now? Because even just a couple months as you get older, a couple months out of exercise, your body starts to adjust.
Oh, man, definitely. I wish you could read our group chat after that first game. Man, everybody's waking up in the morning after that first flag game. It's like, man, I feel like death. Everybody's getting in the cold tub. Everyone's getting, you know, the acupuncture, the massage therapist. So I have to activate all my resources in order to get ready for this game. So it's a lot that's going into it. Taking care of the body is at a premium.
Okay, so if you lose, maybe not that you guys are old. We got to remember we got a bunch of old men out there, too. Yeah, it's something to think
about. Yeah, we got, I mean, that's my fallback plan. That's the excuse I'm going to use.
Let's talk about your real fallback plan, shower pill. How is the shower pill doing? Yeah. This is a beautiful concept because being in a locker room for so long, shower pill is a running joke, running conversation in the locker room about a way to quick clean and get on your way. You went on to make it a business, a real thing. Now it's happening. How's everything with shower pill? How is the fallback plan? How's business going?
Business is doing very well, man. It's going great. We just signed a deal with a big national retailer that we're going to announce here soon.
Okay.
We're expanding. The business is growing, and people all the world, from campers, hikers, to gym goers, to soccer moms, all are using this disposable washcloth to freshen up and clean up throughout the day. So it's been pretty cool to see it grow.
Look at that. I didn't even think about the camping. That's probably a good fucking business decision.
Just shove it in the shark's face.
Yeah, just shove it in all them sharks' faces. It said no to you right there in the middle of that shark tank.
Exactly. We're ready.
Now, you said something to us about the shark tank thing. It was like 30 minutes or 45 minutes you were in there. How long were you in there for?
Yeah, man, it's a long time that you're in there. It varies. I mean, you could be in there from, like, you know, an hour or 3 hours. It just depends on the negotiating.
Because it's real negotiations happening in there.
Oh, no, it's very much real.
That's wild.
It's very much real, and, you know, you only get to see the snip of it, but it's a long process.
Oh, you still sing, or what do you got going on with your vocal cords?
Oh, man. I've actually come down with, it's crazy that right before we got on the call, I came down with a little bit of the flu.
It's such a shame that happens. Like, I think the same thing happened in Minnesota right before you joined us. Do you remember we made him sing?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was 10:30 a.m.
Spice
showed up.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota, where it's -5 degrees, just top of the morning. I know nothing about singing. I have no friends that really sing like a lot all the time. It's like, yeah, just open it up. And it's like, somebody was like, yeah, you didn't even have him warm up or anything. I'm like, warm up? What do you even mean? I go right into the shower like 6 a.m. and sing. And he crushed. For a sec, you crushed. Why don't you put out an album? Why don't you sing some songs?
Hey man, it's really a shower voice, man. I really, I'm really not one of those guys that can go out and perform or, you know, I don't sing in front of people normally.
Yeah, Spice Adams, you know, I think, was sitting in your lap. It was a deep. I think he was sitting on your lap in cowboy jacks, a saloon, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and you belt. I think you should think about getting into a studio. And if you don't want to perform it live, you don't have to perform it live, but let them work some money. You might sound like fucking Adele in there for a second.
You should also make a shower pill jingle.
Yes, you should make a shower pill jingle. I mean, there's there's so many things you can do with that voice. I wish I could sing like that, Justin.
Well, if I do get into singing in the music industry, for one thing is sure, is that I'm hiring you as my agent.
Smart. Not a bad move, by the way. I can hype some shit up, Justin. I'm pretty good at that. Did you hear about Darrell Revis' retirement that just happened about 30 minutes ago?
No, I didn't. I didn't hear about it.
What a hell! I talked about it, him retiring as a fellow football player, watching him work his business both on and off the field. It was awesome to see how he handled himself.
Oh man, he's one of the greats. Man, he's a true a walking legend in this game. I mean, this guy got his own island.
Maybe he'll be on Godspeed next year.
Yeah, maybe he comes and joins Godspeed.
Well, I am the GM, and I'm a candidate for the GM of the year for this American Flag Football League. So I'll be keeping my eye out on him. I'll tell him to stay by the phone.
So you picked all the players on the team for your flag team?
For the most part, I didn't pick the track guys. My co-captain, Michael Johnson, the former Olympian, he picked the track guys in, but everyone else, football players, I think.
Yeah, by the way, good idea having that guy pick the track guys. I feel like you can see who's fast and who's not. Seneca Wallace is so fucking good at throwing a football. I was mind blown watching him.
Yeah, man, he's incredible, man. He's actually my neighbor.
Thrown in the backyard with the kids. He's thrown backyard. And hold on, just Forsett's like, hey man, I know you like throwing to your kids, but we got this like flag football thing. I'm gonna pick you on my team. Is that okay? Yeah, you got it. And then go on and win the fucking championship from backyard throwing the ball around to winning the championship of the flag football for $1 million too. I think $1 million is on the line.
Hey man, we're trying to secure the bag, man. That's what we're trying to secure this bag.
You thought it was a good idea being a running back for the other running back on your team to be one of the fastest running backs to ever play, and you thought that was going to make you look good? Or what
He's
was
a GM.
What
was, He's selfless. He's a GM.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know my strengths. At age 32, I'm not running like I used to run. And I got a guy that ran in the Olympics in the same heat as Usain Bolt. I'm going to have him in the back. I snap the ball for the most part. I'm just a center, and I get on defense, and I'll play the dime linebacker, and that's it. But I'm gonna let his young legs do the work.
I'll tell you what, you got a big brain on you, Justin. Congratulations on all your success. Good luck in the game, and good luck just in everything, man. Can't wait to hear from you again. If you ever get in that studio, I would like to preview. Yep, you get it. Preview the album before it goes out. I would like to be able to give it a critical acclaim to the masses before you release it, because I think you're very talented there. Congrats on a great career. Have an incredible Wednesday. We appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you having me on. You have a great day.
Hey.
Yep.
If you lose to them fucking amateurs. <it's> See you, Justin. That was a good point by you, Nick, that you brought up with him about the sharks. Because he went in Shark Tank and got turned down, right?
Mm. Yep.
Didn't you tell the sharks to go eat it, or was that Diggs?
I think it was Diggs. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a good point, though, because he went into that Shark Tank to try to sell shower pill, and nobody got it. Nobody bought it. That has to be, I assume at some point there is a little bit of a devastation feel whenever your business doesn't get picked up in there. Because if you watch Shark Tank, you see them pick up a lot of shitty business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, wait, they don't like mine. But he's stuck with it. He's got a national distributor he said he's about to get into.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he break that news on our show? Like, why didn't he?
I don't know.
What about our show? Can we get any news breaks?
Didn't even sing.
Didn't sing, did he?
I was looking forward to it.
It seemed as if, I think everybody thought I was going to make him sing.
Well, you let him off the hook, but... When you're that dude, I think, man, he just challenged me.
Yeah,
I gotta fucking bring it.
Like him to sing, right?
Yeah,
because I mentioned it like 5 times.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to set him up to be the hero there, and to just, you know what? Oh, you know what, Pat? I think I got it.
Yeah.
But instead, no, the other way. Humility, he says.
You should have told him if he lost the game coming up tonight, he has to come back and sing for us our show.
We'll have him call back.
So it would have been the ultimate.
But everybody knows that since I let him not sing there, I mentioned it a lot and let him not sing.
Yeah.
Because we all know that if I really want somebody to do something, I would make it very obvious.
If I had it like he has it, I would just sing all the time.
I wouldn't talk. Yeah. I wouldn't. That's probably why it didn't work in a Shark Tank.
Blew it.
Should have sang in there. But next time he comes on, I don't even know if we'll get less than a minute into it where I'm just on him for singing. Like, let's just
better be singing. Hello. As soon as he picks up the phone.
It's Justin. That Adele CD is a heater, by the way. You ever go back and listen to that?
Which one, 25 or 21?
I think when she was 21, it was good. Mm-hmm. That's the Hello, isn't it?
I think so.
Is that Fire?
Yeah, that might be Fire. Yeah,
that's
you're right.
That Fire. Hello is from when she was 25. Mm-hmm. By the way, genius concept, just thinking of names or how old you are for your albums. People go years and years trying to figure out what the fuck the name of their album should be. Adele just had her age. Genius. Absolutely
that
genius.
That is a good move.
Yeah. Also, Audi. I just bought Sam and Audi. Uh-huh. They have a Q5 and a Q7.
Uh-huh.
The difference is how many people can sit in the car.
Smart.
Oh,
really?
My God.
Genius.
Yeah, so it's like Audi Q5, 5 passenger. Audi Q7, 7 passenger.
I do hope Adele puts an album out at 33, though, so she can say 33.
The English have such an interesting accent. That's where the language started, too. I don't know how to say free all the time. Free.
I love it, though.
Free. Anything in her 30s are going to be good. Anything. A monster of a man joined us for a conversation. He was very good, by the way.
Very good.
Very good.
Did not expect the convo that's about to come out, you're about to listen to. Ladies and gentlemen. Joining us now is another incredible football player who went to the University of Florida. Then he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the third round of the 2004 NFL Draft. He played for a long time in Pittsburgh, bounced around a little bit at the end of his career, but hung him up. And by hanging him up, I meant his cleats. And by his cleats, I mean they're fucking big ones. This dude is a monster of a man, an incredible football player on the field. He does a lot of TV work now. He is just a legend in Pittsburgh, too. Like an absolute legend in Pittsburgh.
He's very well liked in Pittsburgh.
6'8", 345-pound playing weight from Orlando, Florida, Max Starks. What's up?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I feel like I should have, like, ran out of somewhere. I'm, like, looking around. I'm, like, should I run down my hallway right now?
I try to give you a good intro there to get you all feeling good. Max, you were an incredible football player for a very long time. Congratulations on that. Congratulations on Super Bowl. And congratulations on transitioning after football. You're doing some TV work now and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for that compliment. Yeah, I call college football games, so I work with Conference USA through Stadium Network, and I also do Monday Night Football sideline reporting for Westwood One, and then I do local radio and TV covering the Cardinals and all the Arizona sports teams. So it's very busy, a lot of fun.
You think sticking around the game has helped you ease from the transition of retiring? Because I'm assuming you're still watching film, you're still in the game on a regular basis. You think that has helped you kind of step away from the game a bit?
I totally agree with that statement. It's been something that, you know, when you dedicate as much of your life to one skill, one trade, and one passion for as long as you do, you can't just walk completely away from it once the NFL says that you're not good enough to play for them anymore, or you decide that you're not good enough to contribute to the NFL. So, you know, you have to look for other ways. Now, man, I could have probably done went into coaching or done some consulting for offensive linemen, and I'd still do that. but you know, doing the broadcasting aspect, I did it because I really had a true passion for teaching people the game of football and helping people understand this game that I love and that I dedicated my life to. It was something I worked really hard at. Wanting to do it because, you know, you see a lot of guys say, oh, I'm going to broadcasting after I'm done because I know I can do it because I played football. And it's like, no.
Well, Max, I think having a brain that has been in the trenches. Talking about football is always a good thing. A lot of people don't know a lot about offensive linemen or defensive linemen and what's going on in there. A lot of quarterbacks get a chance to talk, and they talk about offenses, and linebackers talk about defense, but understanding the trenches is a big deal. Now, with that being said, you played for a Bruce Arians offense there for a while. That is not an easy offense to be an offensive lineman for, because you're expected to hold on for a long time. When Bruce came to Indianapolis, I remember the offensive lineman just being like, oh, can't wait for this weekend. Another three-step home with it.
Especially with Ben as your quarterback.
And with Ben Roethlisberger being your quarterback. Do you explain like the differences in offenses and different quarterbacks, what it's like to be an offensive lineman and shit like that?
I do, because like you said, there's so many nuances between coaches. And you'll find that not every coach is built the same. You know, you think about, like you just said, Bruce Arians' offense is one where you're going to have to hold on a lot more. The progressions are a lot deeper downfield. He wants it in that 10 to 15-yard range. He wants more intermediate than he does long-term. And then you talk about Bill Belichick, where if you're an offensive lineman, if you just blow on the defender and just walk in front of him, you're going to be an all-pro. So, you know...
Shots
so
fired.
Yeah, so I do try and make sure that I, you know, explain that to individuals, get to know the different type of offensive coordinators that are out there in the league and their nuances. Like I know, you know, for the Arizona Cardinals, we got Mike McCoy out here, so explaining his philosophy in the short to intermediate passing game with a lot of run emphasis first. I said that's something that's going to be a bonus for the Cardinals as opposed to having Bruce Arians offense last year and the offensive line that they did. It wasn't a good thing, but the fact that they got to 8-8 with that set speaks volumes to the type of talent they had.
So you've always been a big human, always, your entire life. And I'm reading on Wikipedia. By the way, they wanted me to fucking donate to them, and I'm not doing that, Max. I'm not donating to Wikipedia. Sell ads. You get enough hits. But I was reading on here in your early years. I'll read it exactly. It says, Starks was born in Orlando, Florida. He attended Orlando Christian School for 6th to 8th grades, where he played basketball and volleyball. Volleyball, by the way, incredible sport. I love that sport growing up. I played in high school. It's one of my favorite sports of all time. I don't know if you still do. I assume you do. Let's keep it moving. For the OCS Knights. As an 8th grader, he wore size 15 shoes, and he had a difficult time finding shoes that fit him, so he borrowed some shoes from NBA star Shaquille O'Neal, who played for the Orlando Magic at the time. Is that true?
The size is not true, but the story is.
What was the size? Was it bigger than it?
Oh, yeah. Actually, by the sixth grade, I had a 16, and then that winter, coming back to the spring, my foot had jumped from a 16 to an 18.
Wow.
That's why I called Shaq. I wouldn't have called Shaq for some size 15 shoes. He wears a 22, for God's sake. and that was like 1994. You know, that was 93, 94. So, yeah, no. Back then, they didn't make that size shoe unless you were Shaquille O'Neal. So, unless I wanted like the really, really old Nikes that, you know, Bob Lanier wore, which, you know. So I made that decision, and I definitely, it's a size 18 shoe at the time, was why my mom reached out to Magic.
That's unbelievable. Those big shoes to fill. such a corny. Don't laugh, please. Let's move forward. Do you live in Arizona full time out there?
Yeah, I do. I still go back to Pittsburgh because I still have like business interest there. But yeah.
What business? What business? I want to hear that. Hold on, I want to hear that. What business have you gotten into?
Well, I have two car dealerships back in Pittsburgh.
Woo! I didn't know that, Max. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, and then also BMW Mini Cooper.
Oh, my God. Good for you, Max.
You know, Key is a vastly superior machine.
Little cars for a big guy.
Yeah.
That's big business, though, bro.
So what I did one year for training camp, I had the entire offensive line. We drove up to training camp in Mini Coopers, like kind of Italian job style. And the news actually filmed it as like a little mob race, and we had the Mini Cooper Club of Pittsburgh actually gave us an escort up to camp. So it was like 50 to 60 like
Mini Coopers driving up to our training camp. It was pretty cool.
How long did you know you were going to do that? You had that indoor while you were playing football. Like, did you have an idea you were going to get into the car business, or how did that even happen?
Yeah, you know, I had an idea. I had a passion for cars. I loved cars. And, you know, growing up, my uncles, I worked on cars as a kid. My uncles were from Detroit, so they had the flash and the flare, Detroit steel. You know, I never forget my granddad had a candy apple red 1965 Chevy Impala convertible with the 45 player in the bottom. So that was like my gold standard.
Hey, he was crushing it in that, huh? He was crushing it in that.
Yeah. So in my mind, I was like, that's something I've always gravitated towards, and I always wanted to be a part of the car industry and the cars in general, because I knew that was such a big part of my life growing up.
The Steelers are in quite a conundrum, we'll say. That's a good word. That's a real word, too, right? Yeah. In a conundrum right now with Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown just got the Madden cover. Is that curse coming? Ben Roethlisberger, this is the first offseason he hasn't threatened to quit or retire in a long time. What's going to happen with the Steelers next year, you think? And do you have any inside scoops? Like, I would love to be a show that breaks inside scoops, but we never get any.
So, I don't even know where to begin. There were so many things thrown at once. No.
Options.
Here we go. So, I think this is going to be an amazing year for the Steelers because, you know, usually all of the drama develops during the season. The fact that we have all this before the season, they get to work it out, except for Le'Veon until he shows up week one. But I don't think there's going to be a Madden curse. If there's anybody who can break the Madden curse, it's Antonio Brown. I mean, you look at his work ethic, the type of player that he is. His production level is absolutely insane. You're expecting drop-offs. He won't give, you know, father time the satisfaction of saying he's older than when he entered the NFL. It's like he's kind of hit the pause button on age as far as, but his skills are still superior.
Not a bad player.
With Ben, he's motivated because they drafted a third-round quarterback in the draft, and that fired him up a little bit.
He was not happy, Max. He was not happy about it.
Trust me, I was the guy that called that draft pick out live. So you know how I feel. I'm sitting there in the tunnel like, okay, I got to say this.
Ben?
I'm like, good luck for the future. You know, great job, Steelers, Kevin Colbert and company. I was like, but oof, Seven's not going to like this.
That's funny.
And it's not like there haven't been quarterbacks that have been drafted in years past, but, you know, it hasn't been serious. You had Landry Jones, you know, obviously recently Joshua Dobbs, mm-hmm. and there's another quarterback that have brought on along the way, but none to the degree where it's like, okay, the future's really, you know, real for me. And Mason Rudolph represents that, you know, because you're looking at Ben in year 15, and Ben has already threatened before, hey, I'm thinking about hanging up, maybe I should just retire. You know, the Steelers have to look at it like, okay, this isn't a year 5 quarterback saying that. This is a year 15 quarterback saying that, so we need to prepare for our future. And, you know, and it's not Ben being a bad teammate, like he's going to go in there and just not talk to Mason Rudolph. But at the same time, it kind of gets that competitive juices. Ben's a highly competitive dude, so he kind of has to, you know, kind of psych himself out a little bit, but also realize, hey, no, I dictate this. I'm still in the face of this franchise at the quarterback position. I'll let you guys know when I'm done, but this guy can make sure that he's ready to fill in for me if I, you know, when I take my 1 or 2 games off a year. And until that moment, but I'm the starting quarterback here, and don't think about trying to replace me.
It was very interesting because there was a lot of negative backlash when Ben didn't come out singing that he was going to help him out. He was like, it was like a lot of negative backlash on it. And I think what people don't understand is like draft night is when a lot of people in the locker room are finding out whether or not they're getting cut or not, basically. I mean, the draft is a very different animal for the players in the locker room and the viewpoint inside the locker room as opposed to outside, which, by the way, it should be. That's the difference between playing in the league and watching the league. But I feel like Ben got a lot of heat for that. And it was like, what did you want him to say? Like, yeah, I'm going to be the best quarterback coach in the NFL. Like, what the fuck was he supposed to say there?
He's like, oh, my God. I can't wait for this kid to take my job. said by no NFL player ever. But, you know, at the same time, you know, yeah, for us, watching the draft, it's the opposite Black Friday.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah, we're not clamoring to see. We're rooting against each round draft pick, it being our position. Yeah. It's like, you know, first round, you know, like guaranteed, you know, when we were watching that, like Marquise Pouncey and Dave DeCastro were like, yes, not an offensive line. Good. Cam Hayward was like, yes, not another defensive lineman, you know? So, especially at the higher rounds. When you get to mid to late rounds, you're like, okay, this guy's a contributor. He's for depth. But the top three rounds are the rounds where you're like, okay, what are we doing here?
How do they really feel about me? We're about to find out right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's what. So he wasn't supposed to. It was undue heat. And, you know, but it's been, he's going to attract attention because he is big game. And anything he says come out, it couldn't have come out great either way. If he would have cheered him on, like, well, shoot, he's going to retire. He's going to drop the bomb on us and not show up at training camp or something. But if he came out too hard, it's like, oh, man, he's hating on the rookie. You know, this is the future. Does he see the plan? It's like, no, he's not seeing the plan. He thinks about winning a Super Bowl this year.
Professional transition. They did not draft a running back in the first round because they banked on having the best running back in the game on their team, which they will currently because of the franchise tag. But how do you see this all ending up? Like, how do you see this all playing out? I'm very interested to see PR-wise how this all goes, both the Steelers trying to spin this and the Le'Veon Bell camp trying to spin this next year. I'm very excited to see how this all plays out. How do you see it working out?
I mean, It's gonna be like last year, you know. I see Le'Veon sitting out of training camp again because he's already done that and he's shown that he could be an All-Pro with missing training camp. And the interesting thing is, it's gonna be how close they get towards the end of the season with developing the proper structure for a long-term deal that Le'Veon feels he's worth. Because let's think about this. The Steelers offered, you know, it got floated out there, $70 million, but didn't really give you any kind of details as far as to what the contract was, like, breakdown-wise. And for Le'Veon, you know, the kids made $26.5 million once he signs his franchise tag tender. That's what he'll have made in 2 years. And so You have to wonder what was the guarantees in that quote unquote $70 million contract, and how was it broken down? Where were the guarantees on the back half of that contract? And if anybody has the leverage to do what Le'Veon's doing, or a running back in general, it would be the guy who set the record for most yards in the first 5 years at the running back position. And so if Le'Veon can't get this, it really does not bode well for the running back position, and the Steelers were trying to pay at the position versus pay for the value of the player. And I get Le'Veon's standpoint. When you look at Le'Veon, he's looking at Antonio Brown's contract, he's looking at Ben's contract, and he's saying, well, am I not as good as those other two guys if I'm considered one of the three killer bees? Mm-hmm. So pay the player, pay for what I'm offering. I'm a dual threat in your offense. I can line up as a true slot receiver, and I'm a running back, and I'm playing two positions on your team, and I'm going to touch the ball 300 to 400 times. Pay me for my services that are rendered and for what I'm giving you and the dimension that I'm offering you versus paying the running back position, which is based off of pretty much Donta Freeman's contract down in Atlanta, which is at the 8.25 range, and he's getting 14.5 this year, so he's like, yeah, we got to meet somewhere closer to where I'm at and not where the running back market is.
We've said here a couple of times that he and Gronk are not. Gronk isn't a tight end. Gronk is an offensive weapon. Like, Le'Veon Bell is not a running back. He's an offensive weapon. And I believe that's how they're kind of viewing. Do you see this potentially, Le'Veon Bell becoming the Darrelle Revis businessman of the NFL, where you get like a short deal with a bunch of money and then kind of bounce around? Because Darrelle Revis was a genius when it came to that. He just retired today. When it came to the business side of it, the short contracts, big money, and then keep it moving, kind of be like a mercenary for a team for a year. Do you think there's a chance Le'Veon does that? Or do you think he wants to find a home long-term big deal?
I think he wants a home long-term big deal. Because, I mean, look at the shelf life of running backs. You know, for running backs that once they hit 31, 32 at the most, you see the tread start to fall off the tire. And so that's a hallmark in their mind. Le'Veon's at 26, so he wants the big deal, the five-year deal, so he can play out and finish his career wherever that is. He wanted that to be Pittsburgh, which rightfully so, because he got drafted by Pittsburgh. You always want to be the player that stays with one team your entire career. And now apparently they can't meet on that point. And, you know, I believe Le'Veon when he says it's going to be the best year of his career, because let's face it, the kid just defies odds and it gets better and better every single year. So if he's going to do that this year, his price and value is going to soar. Now here's the one area where it could get tricky. If he really wants to press the Steelers, say they go 11-5, 12-4 this year, he could technically not play in the playoffs because his contractual agreement with the team ends after week 17. Because once you're in the playoffs, everybody gets paid equally, and it's not a part of your contract.
Imagine Steelers fans pissing him off so bad during the season with the chants and shit. Like, just like being like, imagine the fans being, because I mean, I am from Pittsburgh. I am. I know a lot of Pittsburgh people. The diehard Steeler fans are loyal to the Steelers and diehard for the Steelers. They don't care about some player who wants more money. In their mind, it's an asinine amount of money to begin with. So they. What if they? I didn't even think about what you just said right there. I didn't even think. What if they are so hard on Le'Veon Bell next year that they get to the playoffs and Le'Veon's like, you know what? All that employee 26 talk and all that all that hate for me, he's calling me selfish. Here's a selfish move. I'm not playing another fucking game here, and just walks it off. Could you fathom? The locker room would hate him. He'd lose so many friends in the locker room, though. I mean, it'd be a tough decision. That'd be the ultimate heel move in there. I couldn't fathom it.
I mean, once again, as a competitor and a player, and obviously having your teammates by your side, you don't really focus on what the fans do. But he has within his contractual rights that if that was something, it is an option available. I don't think he would do it, especially when he knows how bad he wants to win a Super Bowl. And I think the Steelers, if any year, has the best odds of winning it in the AFC, as long as they play four quarters of football in the playoff. But he could do that if he wanted to. I mean, you know, he had that talk about, oh, I'm going to sit out half the season. He's not sitting out half the season because he's not going to surrender $6.5 million, you know, by sitting out, you know, seven games or eight games at the halfway point of the season. So he's going to play. For a guy that's worried about that number, you're not going to give up $6.5 million for 8 weeks of work.
All right, Max, we appreciate you so much. You also do a lot of work off the field. Charity-wise, from your business acumen to your charitable work to how you were on the field. What an incredible human you are, Max. Thank you so much for joining us, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pat. You guys take care.
Hey, you're how are you? 6'8", what now? 3'3", what?
Still in the 340 range, trying to get down to about 320.
Did you see Jeff Saturday become like a child after he retired, and have you thought about that?
I have not, yes.
Faneca did too, I think. Didn't Faneca? I think Alan Faneca went down to like 200 pounds or like 180 pounds after he retired.
Yeah, he started doing Ironmans and everything. It was crazy. I mean, Justin Hartwig, one of our other centers, he did the same thing. They just became like ultra runners after their NFL career, and I have no desire to do that. I did a start race once. I walked it, and I have no desire to be a runner at this age.
I respect that at any age for me. So, Max,
exactly.
Have a great one, Max. He's good. I mean, it's only a matter of time before he's big time in the media world, right?
Yeah, I gotta think so. Yeah,
clever, funny businessman. There's only a matter, and he has the resume to prove it with his football career.
Right.
I mean, there's only a matter of time before he goes and does big things.
Good guy too. You always heard stories growing up in Pittsburgh about certain Steelers, certain players. You never heard any bad things about Max.
O linemen normally lay pretty low. Pretty low.
Unless you're Mike Adams. Getting stabbed in the south side.
It's a tough place to be. South side of Pittsburgh, by the way. You got to keep your head on a swivel down there. You got to keep your head on a swivel down there. I mean to talk to you. You stabbed the guy. There are a few perks that come from hosting a podcast. But one of my favorites is getting hooked up with a box of awesome from Bespoke Post every single month. These guys are upgrading my style, house, and life one box at a time. It's kind of like a present from myself to myself. Once a month. Now you can experience it too at boxofawesome.com. Bespoke Post scouts out quality and unique products from around the world, delivering to you every month without high retail markups. To get started, visit boxofawesome.com and answer a few short questions that'll help them get a feel for the boxes that'll go best with your style. They don't want to just send random boxes to people.
No.
Like, let's get to know you a little bit. Just quick, though. This isn't like an in-depth process. Like, I understand, like, sometimes people have me sign up for things, and I get there, and it's like page 1 of 10. I'm like, get the fuck? Who has time? It's just a couple quick questions so they can fill you out real quick. Mm-hmm. Then they know what boxes to send you every single month. And I'm going to say this. Although they did type that ad read out there to say at the beginning that one of the perks is to become a Bespoke Post member, everybody in this office can agree that when a Bespoke Post item arrives at the office, I am genuinely excited.
Oh, it's like Christmas.
It's so many cool things show up that you have no idea. It is like Christmas every single month. It's like Christmas every single month. Cool gadgets, cool things.
Anything.
Things you would have never thought to buy yourself shows up at the office. It's just... They gave me a travel bag. It's like the best travel bag I've ever seen. I've been traveling for a long time. It's just the things are...
It always makes your desk, too. There's like 3-4 things on your desk.
Yes. Bespoke Post is becoming my desk sponsor.
It's so funny.
Because there's such cool things I want to look at. They're just... It's Christmas every single day.
Maybe it's a whiskey decanter. Maybe it's a coffee kit.
Mm-hmm. The coffee kit is unbelievable. You're brewing your own coffee.
You get a shovel.
I didn't know shovels came. That's probably because the questions I answered had nothing to do with dirt.
Hammock?
No, the
knife?
Hammock. The
you
hammock.
Get a knife?
We've used the hammock at the house. I love it. You see me posting from my hammock every day. It's from Bespoke Post.
A bike?
I haven't got a bike either. I'm waiting for Hey, Bespoke Post, I know you guys are listening. The shovel and bike need to make an appearance in my life. I don't know how many questions I got to answer to get there. But the Bespoke Post, boxofawesome.com, it is honestly something you'll enjoy. It's a purchase that you'll be like, I'm thankful I got this, because when the box shows up, you're going to get like a little kid feel, because it's a genuine surprise, because nobody knows what the fuck you're getting. And it's just awesome stuff.
Love it.
To receive 20% off your first subscription box, go to boxofawesome.com and enter promo code Heartland at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code Heartland for 20% off your first box. Bespoke Post, themed boxes for guys that give a damn about their happiness, about their life, just about anything. It's boxofawesome.com, promo code Heartland. I'm a big fan of them.
They're the best.
They honestly, it's a genius idea, too. I'm just going to send a box of random cool gifts to myself.
You want whiskey-infused toothpicks? There you go.
It's just like all the coolest guy shit. Like, it's just guy brain on steroids.
You a nice watch or a carry-on bag?
It takes all the thoughts out of my head. Like, I don't have to think. They just will send it to me. Like, you know what? I think Pat McAfee would like this. Let's put this in a box.
Never
let
you down either. That's
never.
Crazy.
It's there hasn't been a box that has shown up where I'm like, mess. This is a mess. Every single one has been good. I'm very thankful for Bespoke Post, and you would be as well if you signed up. For myself, Tom McComas, at Nick Moraldo, at Viva Lazito, at Ty Schmidt, at Evan Foxy, at Diggs with a Z, who had to fly back to Pittsburgh for something, and everybody from Barstool Heartland, Max Starks. Big thanks to Max Starks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Big thanks to Justin Forsett. Big thanks to Wes Welker. Big thanks to all of you. Hashtag Endgang, hashtag Endgame. Just send us something funny. Just send us something cool. Send us something happy. And I think this might be the best way to earn one of them Centaur t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Make us laugh.
Yeah, if you make Ty, remember Ty.
If you can make Ty laugh, you're doing something.
Ty will laugh, but I think he does a lot of basic.
I do.
Yeah.
You're right.
These McAfee Centaur shirts, literally an anomaly.
Like I said, I don't even have one. You don't have one.
I don't have one.
I mean.
One person has one.
It's an exclusive group.
Yeah.
Send something funny, win a prize. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great Thursday. Ty Schmidt, hit the music.
fighting for. He was a high school All-American, a college All-American. He was All-Pro in the NFL. But the thing that he's most proud of is during his show in Muncie, Indiana, he made a woman in the crowd laugh so hard she shit her pants. Ladies and gentlemen, Pat McAfee!